We're going to prepare now to come in a little bit and share communion together and have a little look at Psalm 22 and how that helps us explore what Jesus has done for us in a deeper way. And then in a little while we're serving communion, we're going to have a few different activities and things going on that we can explore a bit more what we're doing and what Psalm 22 says for us today. Obviously, we're all in together, all sorts of different ages today, as we share in communion. And we do this a couple of times a year. It's not our expectation that everybody will take communion today. We recognise that there may well be some adults here who don't feel in a place to receive communion. And there might be some children here who won't receive communion today. We're happy if parents are happy for their children to receive communion, for them to do that. But we leave it up to you as a family to decide what's right for you and for your children at this time. If children or anybody aren't receiving communion, then you are welcome to come to the people who are serving it, and just as you come up, keep your hands by your side when you go to the person who's serving the bread, and they'll pray a short blessing for you in Jesus' name. A couple of little other practical things as we get ready for this. This is normal bread here, but if you've got an issue with gluten or anything else that's in normal bread, there is a gluten-free, some rice cakes here for those who would need it. And the wine that we use has got no alcohol in it at all. When you hear Psalm 22, just hearing the first couple of lines of it, if you're at all familiar with Jesus' death on the cross, then it's hard not to immediately make the link. And that video we saw earlier really helped us with making the link between what's in Psalm 22 and what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Because Psalm 22 begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And those are words that Jesus cried out on the cross when he was dying. And Psalm 22, as you read it, ends up helping us understand in a deeper way, a more meaningful way, what it is that Jesus did on the cross. And I encourage you to explore it, to read it, to look at it, to see actually what happens in Psalm 22 as we read it through and how that helps us understand what Jesus has done for us. But if we only read Psalm 22 thinking about Jesus and what he did on the cross, then actually we miss something. Because Psalm 22 was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus died. And that's amazing in itself, because actually Psalm 22 tells us loads of stuff about how Jesus was going to die. Yet it was written hundreds of years before Jesus died. So someone was inspired by God and wrote this psalm predicting lots of the things that would happen to Jesus when he died. It's an amazing thing. But when they wrote it, they weren't thinking about Jesus. This psalm was in the prayer book for the Israelites. It's in the Psalms. It's like their songbook or their prayer book. People would use this to pray. And so if we only read it thinking about Jesus, then actually we miss something. Because this was something, a little song or a little prayer that was in the Psalms that would help the Israelites to read it when they felt, God, what's going on? My God, what is happening? I don't understand what's going on right now. It's something that they could use to cry out to God when they weren't sure what was happening, when they felt maybe God's abandoned us, when they didn't get what was going on. And there are times when maybe we might like to cry out to God as well, when we might want to say, God, I don't understand what it is that you're doing and what's going on. I wonder what are the things that you might like to cry out to God about today. But as we read it, Psalm 22 isn't just something that's sad and despairing, saying everything's going wrong all the time. Actually, it turns to praise. Verse 22 says, I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. We see something in the psalm, not just about Jesus' death, but about his resurrection too. That Jesus didn't just die, but that God raised him from the dead. But it's also a reminder for us to remember that even when things are hard, we still want to remember the things that God has done for us. That he always listens to our prayers. To recognise all the times he has answered our prayers and how we've known him at work in our lives today. This prayer, even though it talks about feeling abandoned by God, still comes and praises God. I wonder, what are the things that you would like to praise and thank God for today? And then as we get to the end of the psalm, it goes in another direction still, which maybe we wouldn't really expect. Verse 30, if you've got the NIV version of the Bible, says, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord." I don't know about you, but I had to look up what posterity meant, because it wasn't a word that I generally use in everyday language. But if you look in a slightly different version of the Bible, the NLT, it says this: "Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord." And I think those are wonderful words to hear when we're coming and we're sharing in communion together with all sorts of different ages. Our children will also serve him. Verse 31 says, "They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it." The psalm talks about going on to tell others about what God has done, just like Jesus told his disciples to do. Jesus told his disciples to go and to make disciples, to go and to tell others about what they'd seen and what they'd heard of Jesus. And the psalm finishes with those words, "He has done it." And it reminds me of Jesus on the cross. Shortly before he died, he cried out, "It is finished." The most amazing thing that God has done for us is what he's done through Jesus on the cross. And we're to remember what he's done and to tell others about it. I wonder who you're going to tell about what Jesus has done. And communion, as we share in bread and wine, is a way of reminding ourselves and reminding one another, because we come and we share in it together, of what Jesus has done. Jesus said that we should keep on doing this, that we should keep on sharing in bread and wine like this, until Jesus comes again, as a way of remembering what he did on the cross. And he taught his disciples to do this shortly before he died. He took some bread, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He was telling his disciples that he was coming and he was choosing to give his body, to give his life for us, offering his body for us, and that he would give his life to death for us. And as we share in the bread, we're remembering that Jesus gave himself for us. And as we eat it, we're declaring that that's what we believe, that Jesus came to give himself for us, that we've become part of him, and he's become part of us. And after they'd done that, Jesus took a cup of wine, and he said, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And when he said that, he helped us to understand a little bit about why he was dying. He said he was dying so that our sins, so that the things that we've done wrong, could be forgiven, and that we could start a new relationship with God. So when we drink the wine, we remember that Jesus shed his blood. And wine's a helpful symbol for that, because it's red and looks a little bit like blood. We remember that Jesus' blood was shed so that we could be forgiven. And drinking it is a way of showing that we believe. That we believe that Jesus shed his blood for us to be forgiven. So it's not something to do without thinking, or something to do lightly. It's something to do if we mean it, and we believe that Jesus gave his life for us. And so as we come to communion, it's important that we come ready to say sorry to God for the things that we've done wrong, to confess our sins to him. So one of the things that I'd encourage you to do before you come and share communion, or as you do it, is to say sorry to God, to confess to him your sins, and ask for his forgiveness. And if it's helpful, while we're serving communion, out the back is a space to help you think about that and reflect on that, if that would be a useful thing to do, to write some things down and have a physical way of thinking about God's forgiveness. Also, whilst we're serving communion, there's going to be a few ways of exploring what it talks about in Psalm 22. So if you'd like to have a look further at how it relates to some of the passages in the New Testament, then just at the front here there's a sheet which has got Psalm 22 printed out on it, and it tells you at the top the passages in the New Testament to have a look at. So you can grab a Bible and you can look through and start to see where these things link up, where they match up, and how we come to understand in a deeper way what Jesus went through on the cross. If you fancy something a little bit easier than that, then out the back there's a sheet that's got verses from Psalm 22 and verses from the New Testament, and they match up, only they're jumbled up, So you've got to work out which one matches with which, if you'd find that a little bit easier. Also out the back, there's a space to explore the things you might like to cry out to God about and to bring those before him today. There's a space to praise God for the things that he's done. And there's a space to think about who is it that we are going to go and tell about what God has done. So we're going to have some space and some time to sharing communion, to reflect on all that God has done for us and what we learn through Psalm 22. Communion is going to be served at the front here, at a couple of stations over there and over here throughout that time. So feel free to come and receive communion when you're ready. If you're normally in Sunday Club, it would be best if you did come with your family as you come to do that. And we're going to have some space. And you can do those things in whatever order you'd like to. So you'd like to go and spend some time at the back exploring the things out there. You can go and do that and then come back and receive communion. If you just want to have a look in the Bible here and read through Psalm 22, if those sheets would be helpful, come and take one and feel free to sit and explore that. There'll be a little bit of music going on in the background while we're doing that. When we finish, the music group will come and lead us in a song as a way of drawing us back together. And that'll be your cue to come and gather back together if you haven't already. And afterwards, there will be an opportunity, if you'd like to share something of what God has said to you, or what you feel God might be saying to us, or something you've discovered as you've been looking at these different things, there'll be a chance to share that if you'd like to. Before Jesus and his disciples shared in the bread and the wine, Jesus gave thanks to God. And so we're going to do that together now as we commit what we're doing and give thanks to him for this bread and this wine. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this bread and this wine, that we can come with quite simple things and we can remember you. We thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. But we thank you most, Father, that you would send your Son, Jesus, for us, that he would die, that he'd give his body, that his blood would be shed for us, so that we could know you, so that we could be forgiven. We thank you for your word, for the Bible. We thank you for the words of Psalm 22. And as we share, as we explore it together, as we receive communion, would you help us to know you more? Would you reveal yourself to us once again? And would you fill us with your Spirit that you might change us and make us to be more like Jesus? In his name we pray.